Good morning, I'm Steve Johnson with Raven News. The hatchery program at Sitka Sound Science Aquatic Center is getting a helping hand from the Pacific Salmon Commission. The center has been awarded $130,000 in grant funding to improve the hatchery's water intake system, which was originally built around the turn of the 20th century to float logs to the sawmill at Sheldon Jackson Training School. Robert Woolsey has the story.
Yeah, you can see over here all the junk, because the river's actually going down now. It was up quite a bit.
The wooden flume is long since gone, replaced 30 years ago by a 48-inch pipe, but the Indian River still looks untamed here on the north side of Sawmill Creek Highway. Strictly speaking, a river this centrally located in Sitka might be called an urban waterway, but nature did not get the memo.
And even this river will shift around a lot. You'll get a big flood, and that gravel bar on the inside of this bow can move around. And if the river kind of cuts through the trees here on the upstream side, all of a sudden a lot of water can come over here and flows can be completely changed. So one thing about rivers is they're alive. They move all over the place. And
Lon Garrison used to run hatchery operations for the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, and now he works for the Sitka Sound Science Center. We're standing at a place on the river where water historically has been diverted to the Sheldon Jackson campus, first in that old wooden flume that carried logs to a sawmill, and later in a penstock to an electrical turbine. Now, there's also a 12-inch pipe here built to supply Sheldon Jackson's hatchery, which has been taken over by the Science Center. When it was a college program, this hatchery trained many people who continue to work in aquaculture around the state. You'd think the setup would be near perfect. In fact, Garrison says it's far from ideal. The problem is this wild river.
And a river is not generally a great water source for a hatchery because a couple of things. It has a lot of debris in it. It's carrying bed load all the time. Certainly in August and September, October, November, it's got fish in it. A lot of salmon, and we end up with a lot of salmon carcasses, and then we end up with really high loads of bacteria in the water, and it makes it very difficult for us at the hatchery.
Difficult is putting it nicely. The hatchery's water supply was cut off four times last fall when the intake clogged. Backup pumps saved the incubating eggs, but Garrison says there were many sleepless nights. The hatchery rears 3 million pink salmon and 1 million coho eggs. It currently has 20,000 coho smolt nearing release, along with 100,000 chinook. Garrison says they're phasing out chinook to concentrate on coho, which costs less to rear and return sooner. Despite the temperamental nature of rivers, Garrison says they're used by hatcheries all over the world. He thinks the Science Center's problems can be solved by a modern device installed in this historic intake.
They call it a rotating, self-cleaning mechanical screen. So it's got it's kind of like a porous conveyor belt, and it just keeps rotating, and it's got a spray bar on one side, and it washes it off, and the debris goes back off into the river.
And it's water-powered?
No, it'd be electrically powered. So it would have to, that's one of the drawbacks, is it would be electrically driven. But as I look at this system right here at the river, last fall we saw this flood several times where the water was about a foot to 2 feet over the top of all of these concrete walls.
Wow.
So all of a sudden you go, well, now how do we plan for that? Mm-hmm. Because it's a massive amount of water. I mean, this thing can just be roaring.
Garrison anticipates that just over half the grant will be spent on buying the screening equipment itself, the rest on a local contractor to install it and make other upgrades to the intake itself. The trash weir needs to be reinforced, and the whole thing needs to be covered with a safety grate. He's surprised that no adventurous youth or unlucky cat has taken a ride down the penstock pipe. The main thing, though, and the reason the Pacific Salmon Commission is involved, is saving fish. The hazards of losing this water supply are all too real.
It happened 2 years ago. The water quit. All of the fish that they had in the tanks and the incubators died, and so you had nothing to release the next year. Huge loss.
The amount of that loss is hard to pin down. It depends on ocean survival rates and the price of fish. The commercial fleet catches about half of Sitka's hatchery returns. Sport anglers intercept many as well. Does the potential loss exceed the $130,000 cash investment plus matching funds from the Science Center? Oh yes, says Garrison. Absolutely. Reporting from the Indian River in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And this is what we have to come brush constantly.
The city of Hoonah is feeling pressure from cruise ship lines and a local native village corporation, Hoonah Totem, to build a multi-million dollar dock at the corporation's popular Icy Strait Point tourist destination. The Hoonah City Council wants the dock located on city land a quarter mile from the facility and so far has refused to give in to the company's demands. Casey Kelly has more.
Hoonah Totem Corporation approached the city of Hoonah last year with a proposal to partner on a new dock. It would serve cruise ships during the summer and other vessels, such as barges, state ferries, and Coast Guard boats, year-round. Marlene Duval is Hoonah's city administrator.
With Hoonah Totem, the city added this project to its capital improvements projects list and designated it a community priority.
The project received $17 million in last year's state capital budget, a large amount for the Chichagof Island Village of 750 residents, located about 40 air miles west of Juneau. Two sites were identified in the original request, one at Icy Strait Point, a former fish plant turned tourist stop owned by Hoonah Totem, and another called Outer Point or Cannery Point, just north of the facility. Duval says the city hired P&D engineers to analyze those locations and a third site on city land about 1,000 feet south of Hoonah Totem's property.
If you were to line up a cruise ship, a 1,000-foot cruise ship, at each one of these proposed locations, you know, bow to stern, they would essentially touch each other.
Last September, the Hoonah Council unanimously chose the third site, known as Shaman Point, citing better access for freight vessels. Craig Millen, Senior Vice President for Royal Caribbean Cruises, wrote the city expressing concerns about the location. Millen said if Shaman Point led to increased costs for Royal Caribbean and its customers, the company would continue the current practice of anchoring ships offshore and tendering passengers to Icy Strait Point. Thanks to a deal with Hoonah Totem, Royal Caribbean and its subsidiary, Celebrity Cruises, account for more than 80% of Hoonah's ports of call. Millen's letter caught the attention of Scott Ruby, director of the State Division of Community and Regional Affairs, the agency responsible for administering Hoonah's $17 million grant.
If the cruise industry says they're not going to use it, the majority of the operation and maintenance money for this would come through landing taxes on the cruise industry. So that indicates a problem.
Ruby says the state also has concerns about the two sites backed by Hoonah Totem and the cruise lines. The engineering analysis showed problems with those locations in terms of dock lifespan and access for other uses.
We're just trying to make sure that whatever gets built is going to be used by the cruise industry and is also available as a multi-use dock.
Last month, two legislators whose districts include Hoonah, Representative Bill Thomas and Senator Albert Kukesh, went to the community to meet with the city council about the project. The meeting quickly turned contentious, as heard in this exchange between Senator Kukesh and Councilman Chris Erickson.
Just sounds to me like we're having a hammer held over our heads, that we either got to do this or this, or we're not going to have it. And that I disagree with that.
What's the hammer? You think Bill and I are threatening you?
That's my impression, that we're hearing that if we don't go for A or B, that we're not going to have it.
Yes.
Kukesh says he and Thomas did not go to the meeting to pressure the council. He says their only goal was to make sure a dock gets built in Hoonah.
In the meeting, I said, why don't you guys sit down and talk? Why don't the Hoonah Totem sit at this end of the table, the city of Hoonah Council right here, and the cruise ships right there, and you guys decide. I don't care where you build it.
Hoonah Totem CEO Larry Gaffney declined an on-tape interview, but Icy Strait Point director Johan Dibdahl was at the same meeting as Kukesh and Thomas, where he said the Village Corporation was not allowed to comment during the City Council's selection process.
So we had no chance to say anything about this report done by P&D.
On February 28th, Community and Regional Affairs Director Ruby notified the city of the state's decision to put the grant on hold. Duval says HUNA Mayor Seferino Villarreal responded a day later that the council's decision was made in the best interests of the public.
The city's decision on location hasn't wavered at all. They're still in agreement, and it's unanimous that Shaman Point is the location for the facility.
Ruby has not responded to the mayor's letter. HUNA Totem officials did meet last week with the city's Planning and Zoning Commission, which unanimously backed the city council. Duval says another meeting with the council and the corporation may be scheduled, but she did not know when. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
An ordinance repealing the senior citizen sales tax exemption will be up for second and final reading when the Assembly meets in regular session tonight. The Assembly will also consider altering the fish box tax, backing a loan to Baranoff Island Brewing Company, and hiring a project management firm to oversee a design of a proposed Crescent Sea walk. The senior citizen sales tax exemption is not going away altogether. Instead, the Assembly plans to replace it with an exemption only for low-income seniors. To be eligible, residents must have reached the Social Security retirement age and have a household income less than twice the federal poverty level. If the new ordinance passes, qualifying seniors will apply for a card to be issued by the City of Sitka. They'll be able to list up to 7 household members eligible to make tax-free purchases on the card. The fish box tax was passed by voters in 2006 and went into effect in 2007. Revenue from the $10 per box tax has been divided amongst the city's harbors, fisheries enhancement, and the general fund. The Assembly tonight will consider adjusting the distribution levels, giving the harbors 60% of the share and cutting enhancement to 20%. The original ballot sponsor, Aaron Long, told KCAW News that she opposes the reallocation of the revenue and would consider another citizen initiative to restore the funding scheme. That's all for Raven News for this hour. This is KCAW in Sitka.